ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ते न जानन्ति नहं धैर्यं नागपि.
The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since Duryodhana Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadhavo Hridaya Mayam, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Duryodhana Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadasi Bharana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he drank a little water. But although Duryodhana Muni was a great mystic Brahman, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham evanukham bharatam aham ajnanam jantama nasayam yatma bhavishto jnana dipena bhashyata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyeha na bujai. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnav. A Vaishnav knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Today I have been given the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we happen to turn to this page, which is one of the very great verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is spoken by Lord Narayana, the Lord of Vaikuntha. Ambarish Maharaj was instructed by his Guru Maharaj to go to the bank of the Jamuna at the forest of Madhuban and perform the Ekadasi Parana in order to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Gita, Yat karoshi rasnasi yat johoshi tatasya yat tapasya sikontaya tat karusha madharapanam. That all that you do, all that you eat, all austerities or penances you may perform, all charity you may give, it should all be done as an offering to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Notice that Ambarish Maharaj, he performed a very, very difficult sacrifice. A sacrifice where he was depriving his body of all sense enjoyment. He was living in a secluded, holy place. His mind was fixed in meditation for one complete year. He was not doing it for any other reason than to please Lord Narayan. He was not doing it for elevation to heavenly pleasures in life. He was not doing it for fame in this world of names and forms. He was not doing it to gain great powers. But he was performing this great sacrifice simply to please Narayan. Because he was a king, and he was a responsible king, he was fully understanding that if Narayan is pleased by the king's service, just like watering the root of the tree, Lord Narayan will provide the needs and the wants for everyone within the kingdom. The foolishness of modern society is people are working very, very hard to try to provide the responsibilities they have for their families, for their students, politicians, for their citizens. But Ambarish was more intelligent. He understood that simply by pleasing Krishna, everything will be provided. Therefore, although he was the king of the whole planet Earth at the time, he took 1 year simply and exclusively to be in that secluded place to please Krishna, knowing that it was the greatest service he could do for his kingdom and for every citizen within. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Atha pumbir vijastreshtas varana shrama vibhaga shashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsudir hari toshana. Whether you are a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Sudra, whatever your occupation is in life, the success of the performance of your duty is only when the Supreme Lord is pleased by the sentiment in which you are offering your service. It is also said in Bhagavatam, Srama eva hi kevalam. That means whatever occupation you have, if you do not please Narayan by that service, it is all a useless, futile waste of your life's time. Arjuna was also a great warrior, and he performed his duty well, but his consciousness was to please Krishna. So Ambarish Maharaj was setting the perfect example.
Yadyaracharati sreshtas tat tat evetarosara sayat pramanam kurute lokastharam ubharatite.
What the great men do, the common men follow. Therefore, the leaders on every level of society must set the proper example of God consciousness for others to follow.
Guru na sasyat, swajani na sasyat, pitha na sasyat, jani na sasyat.
That is why Lord Rishabhdev says, whatever position of leadership you take, you must set the example of how to perfect your life. And who are the leaders? The guru is a leader. If the guru is not setting proper example of how to perfect one's life, he has no business being a guru. The demigod is a guru, is a leader. Unless a demigod is acting in such a way that his followers can follow him properly, he has no right being proper demigod. Pitha na sasyat, jani na sasyat. The parent, the father and the mother, if you are not, the father and mother is a leader, especially father is a leader. He is the leader of the family. Mother is also one of the leaders of the family. If a father and mother are not living exemplary God-conscious lives, by the authority of God, they have absolutely no right to be a father or mother. They're cheaters. So Maharaj Ambarish was setting by his example. He was a father. He was also a king. It says in Bhagavatam, a king has no right being a king. A politician has no right leading his people unless he is setting a perfect example of God-conscious life for others to follow. This is the first responsibility each one of us have in our life, to set an example for those who are depending on us. This responsibility is more important than feeding the bellies of our dependents, because the animals are doing that too. The atheists are doing that too. That's not such a great thing. Huh? Even the demons are feeding the bellies and clothing and giving a nice house to their dependents. These things are required. That is a responsibility, but is very much secondary. The first responsibility is our example, our leadership, how we are guiding our dependents, how we are setting an example for the world to be influenced by, of devotion to God. So Ambarish Maharaj was very humbly accepting this responsibility as his life and soul. And of course, we read about the great sage Durvasa Muni, who became very angered at Ambarish and tried to kill him. At that time, Narayan sent his Sudarshan Chakra to destroy the fiery demon created by Durvasa Muni, and then that same Sudarshan Chakra was chasing after Durvasa Muni. If Krishna wants to kill you, nothing can protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can kill you. Krishna wanted to protect Ambarish. He did not even raise a finger to protect himself. And even the most mighty fiery demon that was capable of devouring the entire earth planet could not even touch one hair on his head, because Krishna was protecting him. And although Durvasa Muni was the most powerful mystic yogi, who simply by the chanting of an incantation can create entire bombs more powerful than any nuclear bomb today, within a second. Such a powerful mystic. But when Krishna wanted to kill him, he could not protect himself. Lord Brahma could not protect him. Lord Indra could not protect him. Varuna could not protect him. Even Lord Shankar could not protect him. Finally, he fell at the feet of Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan said, even I cannot protect you, because you have offended my devotee. And then he began to explain his own heart. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals his mind to us in the scriptures. How intimately loving the Lord is to all of his children. Just imagine. How many friends do you have that can honestly, sincerely, confidentially reveal their minds to you? Not so many, is there? People in this world have a tendency for very superficial relationships with one another. Because it's a superficial society. The natural surroundings that bring about a natural lifestyle are so hard to find. We're living in a society of concrete and oil and plastic and exhaust fumes and so much quarreling for unnecessary paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. Where do you find natural water? You have to buy it in a bottle imported from 100 miles away. Where do you find natural air? The basic ingredients of our life, natural air, natural water. It's nowhere to be found. You have to go great, great distances just to breathe properly. And of course, we are very much a product of our environment. We become like what we associate with. Therefore, we become very artificial, very superficial, very unnatural. And therefore, our relationships with one another are of the same quality, unfortunately. It's like in America, New York City. I go there often. I visit so many people. I know people who've lived in an apartment building for 26 years. The same little apartment. They're on a floor in the apartment building with about 30 other apartments. And of the 30 other apartments, practically everybody's been there about 25, 26, 30 years. And not a single one knows any of the others. They get back from work, they go in the house, they lock the door, they watch television. Thus. This is not an unordinary situation. People are afraid of each other. And people are very afraid to open their minds and confidentially speak to another, because there's a good chance that eventually that person will use that information against you. He's my friend today, but how do I know whether he will be my friend tomorrow? If I reveal my mind and confidence today, tomorrow, if he's not my friend, what will he say? He will ruin me. Or even if he is my friend, all friends, naturally, they like to gossip. So how can I reveal my mind? How could I reveal my heart? But Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadesamrita, which is a great guide on the fundamental principles of Krishna consciousness, he explains that there are six symptoms of love between devotees. Six exchanges of love. One is to give a gift. That gift is not necessarily something material, but it is a gesture of our affection. Could be in our words and our encouragements. Could be in an invitation. Could also be in a gift. It's not the gift itself, but it's the thought that has meaning. So to give gift and to accept gift. To give prasad, to accept prasad. To reveal one's mind in confidence and to hear another's mind in confidence. These are the six exchanges of friends in Krishna consciousness. So it is very difficult to find a real friend. But Krishna says in Gita, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, that I am the supreme friend of all living beings. He is the supreme friend because he never abandons us. The real quality of a friend is when you're most in need, he will not abandon you. That's when you really know who your friends are, when you're most in need. Most people they only want you when you assist them in their sense gratification. At the time of death, who is there to stand by your side? I'm talking not about standing by the side of your body, but to stand by the side of your soul. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, your children, your grandchildren, whatever your age bracket is. You may have so many people standing around the bed crying, oh, don't leave us, don't leave us, don't leave us. We enjoy you too much, please do not leave us. But how many of them are standing by the side of your soul to take your soul to a better place? Huh? To save your soul from a worse place. Can they do like that? There is only one person that is your friend at the time of death. That is Krishna. So therefore he is the supreme friend. And of course any devotee who is acting as a representative of Krishna in your life, he is also your real friend because he is representing your supreme friend. So as the supreme friend, as the most confidential and intimate friend of the soul of every living being, Krishna reveals his mind in confidence to us in the revealed scriptures. And in our prayers, we are meant to reveal our minds to him in confidence, with faith, with trust. So this loving exchange is meant to take place between the sincere devotee and between the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here in this beautiful and most illuminating verse, Lord Narayan, the supreme friend of all living beings, the master of the universe, the super soul within the heart of every living creature, is confidentially revealing the innermost thoughts of his heart. Sadhavo hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham maranyabdhe na jananti naham tevyo manakapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Those devotees who sacrifice everything for the pleasure of God. Such souls, they are always within the core of the heart of the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari. Therefore, any insult, any pain that we inflict upon his devotee, we are inflicting upon the heart of Lord Narayan. Just try to understand how serious this is. If someone comes and pushes you in the face, you do not like that. If someone comes and kicks you in the leg, it hurts. You don't like that. But if someone comes and stabs your heart, what is more worse than that? Therefore, great demons who come to attack God, you see, like, there are many battles between the Lord and his various incarnations and asuras, where sometimes they're shooting the Lord with arrows, they're hitting him with clubs. They're hitting him on the head. They're shooting arrows in his body. They're insulting him with words in his ears. But those things, are they as bad? Do any of those demons actually pierce his heart? But when you cause pain, when you insult the Lord, when you go against the Lord, you are going against his body, the body of God, the form of God. But Lord Narayan is revealing a very secret piece of information to us. When you cause pain to his devotee, you are directly inflicting pain to the very inner core of his heart. And there is nothing that is more painful than that. Therefore, one must be very cautious. We should always give a devotee the benefit of the doubt. Because if we are wrong, we are defeating the entire purpose of our human existence. The purpose of human life, samsidhir haditoshanam, is to please God. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayaschati karam ashnami prayatatmana. Krishna says, offer me a little water, a flower, a little fruit. If you offer it with love, I will be pleased and I will accept it. That is the goal of life, to please God. And what is the most contrary of all activities to our purpose in life? To cause pain to God. So therefore, by inflicting pain upon his devotee, that defeats the purpose of human life more than anything else we can do. Because it is inflicting pain to the core of the heart of Narayan. Therefore, Narayan is telling Durvasmuni, you think you have caused this pain to my devotee? You have harassed, insulted, and tried to harm my devotee? And now you're coming to me for forgiveness? Impossible. The only possibility is you must go to that devotee and please him. Only then will my heart feel relieved of the pain. By coming to me and offering all your prayers, it's sweet to my ears, but my heart is still suffering. If you want to relieve this pain of my heart, you must go and you must satisfy my devotee, because he is within the core of my heart. So Durvasa Muni ran back to Ambarish Maharaj, understanding the confidential mind of the Lord, and with a heart of genuine sentiment, he apologized. And he said, "Ambarish, I am your servant." And then Lord Narayan was happy. Then he was pleased. So try to understand that becoming a great mystic yogi is not a very important thing in life. Durvasa Muni, he was able to perform miraculous activities which contained all the 8 mystic cities. Durvasa Muni had the power to create a planet simply by chanting mantra. He had the power to destroy planets simply by chanting mantras. He had the power to accumulate massive, massive, massive wealth within a second to enjoy or to give to others simply by chanting mantra. Could you imagine if you had these powers? You wouldn't have to be working 9 to 5. You just chant a mantra, you have your home, you have your gardens, you have your money, you have your food, you have everything. He had that Prapti city where you can obtain anything from anywhere instantly. He also had the power to read others' minds. Sometimes we're thinking, what is he thinking? Should I trust him? Should I not trust him? He never had these doubts. He would just go, zoop, go right into your mind and know exactly what your motive was, what you wanted to do, what you didn't want to do. No anxiety, right? You know exactly who your friends are and who's not your friends. Such powers. But all these powers have no value. And Durvasa Muni realized that all his powers had no value. Because if you are not pleasing Lord Narayan, then whatever you do and whatever you have is ultimately simply meant for your condemnation, for your defeat in life. For whatever you have or whatever you don't have, if we are sincere to offer our respects to the devotees of Lord Narayan, try to understand the opposite of what I have just been explaining. If you give satisfaction to the devotee, that means you are giving pleasure to the core of the heart of Narayan. Now in our own life, if somebody massages our body, little pleasure, very nice, thank you very much. Right? If someone fans you with a peacock fan to relieve you from the heat, it's a very nice little pleasure. You are very... See, this is nice fan. This is only nice. These fans, I don't know if I like them or not. My body likes them, but my ears do not like them. Right? Half is pleasure and half is pain. From the point of view of materialistic dualities. From the transcendental platform, it's all a matter of perception. So pleasing the body, we like it. If someone gives pleasure to your mind by saying, oh, you know, you are a very good man, you are very great, the whole world will soon learn about this, you will think, ah, yes, yes, such pleasure. But for someone to give pleasure to your heart, is there any greater pleasure than that? Someone who actually gives you love, that pleasure goes right to your heart. That's beyond the physical or mental pleasure. That is what we are all looking for. That is what we are all striving for, the pleasure of the heart. By pleasing the devotee, by pleasing God by offering him some food, by pleasing God by fanning him, by pleasing God by offering him some nice ornaments, you are pleasing his transcendental form. But by pleasing his devotee, you are directly giving the highest pleasure to his heart, to the core of his heart. That is why Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. If you really, really want to be my devotee, you have to become the devotee of my devotee and please my devotee. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed for only one position. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being God, in the role of a devotee, knew as the supreme authority how to please God. Who knows better how to please God than God? Anybody? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is God himself, taking the role of a devotee, was showing us, according to his supreme authority, how to please Krishna. Gopi Bharatura Padakamalayora Das Das Anu Das. My aspiration, he said, is to become the servant of 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 the servant, Anu, the most tiny, insignificant servant of all other servants of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna. That is how to give pleasure to the core of the heart of Narayan. And this most confidential information is being revealed in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by following this very simple principle, we will never have any serious problems in our spiritual life. Even if problems do come, they will very quickly be rectified by the Lord. In the 9th chapter of Gita, Krishna said, Api chet sutaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyagbhavishivangita. Kshipram bhavati dharamatma. He says that even if my devotee commits the most abominable activity, if he is rightly situated means humble servant of the servant, I consider him saintly. Kshipram bhavati dharamatma, which means that very quickly I will rectify his situation. Because he is under my divine protection. So if we simply keep ourselves as the humble servant of the devotees, if we simply keep ourselves from offending the sadhus, the great souls, and factually, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who's chanting the holy name is a great soul. Huh? There will be no serious problems in your spiritual life. Even if there is, Krishna will personally rectify. We should not look for the faults. We should simply try to strive for that position of humble servant of the great souls.
And then we could know that we will also be living within the core of the heart of Lord Narayan. And that is the greatest attainment. That is the greatest benediction. When by our humble service to the Vaishnavas, the Lord welcomes us to live within the core of His heart. Huh? Is there any questions? In just a few days from now, we will be celebrating Janmashtami. What does Janmashtami mean? It means the day that Krishna appears. It means the day that Krishna appears on this earth. It also means the day that Krishna appears within our lives. Huh? When does Krishna appear? He appears But actually, does he appear? He's always everywhere, is he not? He's in your heart right now. Ishwara sarvabhutanam hridayesya janatishtati. Krishna said, I am seated in the heart of every living being. He says that a learned soul sees me within the heart of every living creature. Even the animals. Even the immovable vegetation. It is also said that the Paramatma, who is Krishna, is in and between every atom. So what does it mean when Krishna descends into this world, when he's already everywhere in this world? We cannot see him in our hearts. We cannot see him in the hearts of others. We cannot see him, although he is everywhere and in everything. Therefore, when our hearts are pure, when they are freed from lust, from envy, from greed, from deceit, from pride, when they are freed from the desire to lord it over material nature, when our hearts are softened to be the humble servants of the Lord, at that time the Lord reveals His identity to our transcendental vision. When the sun rises on the eastern horizon, the sun is not born. The sun simply reveals itself to our eyes. Krishna is everywhere. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilojanena. But unless our hearts are softened by bhakti, unless our eyes are decorated with the salve of love, we cannot see him, although he is before us everywhere and in everything. So the real way of celebrating Janmashtami is not simply celebrating the historical appearance of Krishna 5,000 years ago that took place under these particular constellations. But the real celebration of Janmashtami is making a vow and striving according to that vow to purify our hearts so that Krishna will take his birth within our life.
so that he can appear and reveal himself in truth within our very life. And then we can personally worship him, adore him, and serve him through all of eternity. We should approach Janamastami in this consciousness. And what is the greatest benediction upon all humanity within Kali Yuga? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this benediction. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. He has given us the simple and sublime means by which we can purify our hearts, by which we can facilitate the invitation by which Krishna reveals himself and takes birth within our life. And that great benediction comes in the form of Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Not only on this particular day, but on every day. Let us invite Krishna to appear within our life every day by sincerely chanting the holy names and by sincerely accepting the position by which we give pleasure to his devotees. Any questions?
You said that Krishna recognizes devotees who is rightly situated as though he commits some abominable activities. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself condemned Shota Haridas because he was telling it.
But what did he do to Chota Haridas? Chota Haridas atoned for his activity, and what was the result? He immediately was given by the divine grace of Lord Chaitanya his original spiritual body. And he also facilitated to fulfill all the innermost desires of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas's only desire was to please Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya. So as soon as Chota Haridas made this gesture to atone for his offense, he was immediately given an eternal spiritual body, which is undying, full of knowledge, full of bliss. And day and night, he was allowed to be in the presence of Lord Chaitanya to sing beautiful songs for the pleasure of the Lord.
Discarding the present material body is also destroying this present body is also object to destruct
this present body will be destroyed today or tomorrow anyway. He didn't commit suicide. There's a difference between committing suicide and doing the will of God. It was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to him to do that to atone for his offense. Committing suicide means destroying another man's property. Huh? Your body does not belong to you. If you commit suicide, you become a ghost in your next life. You have no choice. You suffer because you have destroyed the property of God. God has given you a body. You have no right to destroy it. But if God specifically and directly tells you to destroy it, is there anything sinful about that? It's God's body. If you do it under his direction, perfectly according to the principles.
He committed.
It was his desire. Lord Chaitanya said, this is the proper atonement. And that if you do not have that order from God, then prepare to be in the suffering condition of a ghost for thousands of years. Huh? Because it's the most sinful of all activities. Any other questions? They will have to suffer, but not as much as someone who knowingly with envy does. See, it's not the offense, but it's the consciousness behind the offense that is considered by Krishna. Huh? If you accidentally break some principle of etiquette, Krishna is not going to take it very seriously. Huh? Just like I remember, sometimes devotees would be on morning walks with Prabhupada, and sometimes they'd be walking behind him because they wanted to hear what he said, and they'd accidentally step on his foot. So you think they're going to go to hell for that? It's completely not proper to put your foot on the body of the guru, correct? Krishna, but they're actually very anxious to serve him and hear him. That little offense, you know, maybe they'll step on a thorn and have to pull it out of their foot. Krishna will not take it very seriously. Huh? But if someone maliciously, with ill intent, deals with the Lord's devotee, and of the Lord, according to the degree of the maliciousness of your heart, to that degree, the Lord will reprimand your offense. Yes.
What is the definition of a devotee?
The definition of a devotee? Essentially, one who accepts the position of the servant of God. One who accepts God as the master of his life and accepts the position of a servant. One who is accepting God as the supreme master of his life and is aspiring honestly to follow his instructions. That is devotee. Even if you are not so expert, if you are honestly striving to follow his instructions, the Lord accepts you as his devotee. It is the honesty and sincerity of our hearts that Krishna accepts. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains sometimes demons come in the disguise of devotees. That means they may be accepting the external forms of devotees, but within their hearts, they do not have that honest and sincere desire to serve the Lord and his devotees. By the definition, there are many definitions. By the definition of Krishna, he says, he who calls himself my devotee is not my devotee. But he who calls himself the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So by this definition, which is God's definition, one who honestly and sincerely is striving to be the servant of the servant of the Lord, he is a devotee. Even if he is in the most fallen condition of life, he still must be considered a devotee. Any other questions? How do we do? By striving to please every devotee. Whether it is difficult or easy, that is your service. You have to learn from spiritual master. Without a spiritual master, you cannot learn. You cannot understand these principles. You must be trained by a bona fide spiritual master how to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Every devotee you see, every devotee you come in contact with, how can you best help that person's Krishna consciousness? How can you best assist that person in his Krishna consciousness? Or even assist that devotee's service to his Guru Maharaj, to your Guru Maharaj? That should be how you're thinking throughout the day. Yes, it is difficult, but nothing great is easy. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.